Vidaya. By establishing. Alika. False. Vishrambam. Faithfulness. Ageshu. Unto the foolish man. Chakdasarudaha, who have given up the company of well-wishers. Navam nu. Navam nu. Abhipsandhya. Desire. Humshalya. Women very easily allured by other men.
Swaya.
Independently. Rityaha. Professional. Translation. Women are very easily seduced by men. Let me read it first. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends one after another. So you can repeat. Women are very easily seduced by men.
Therefore, polluted women
give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends.
One after another.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Because women are easily seduced, the Manu Samhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected either by her father, by her husband, or by her elderly son. If women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvashi, is to establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. So, Om Ganat Sundaranda Shah Kamanjana Shlokaya Chakshu Nidhidhan Gena Tasmai Shigarbe Namaha. I just want to point out, before we start discussing one statement here, the second sentence in the translation of this verse, therefore polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. So, in other words, that's classifying a particular type of woman, polluted woman, give up the friendship of a man. So there is different varieties of women, just like we have different varieties of men. And another point that we should make in this regard is that when you're talking about punishments, and I just read about this morning, that the women are not actually supposed to be punished for their activities. So the women, the cows, the old people, like me, the Brahmins, that is real Brahmins, and the saintly persons are not punishable. And of course that was brought out when Yamaraj was punishing Mandavya Muni. Mandavya Muni, of course, had pierced as a child. Pierced an insect with a blade of grass, and he was punished by Yamaraj later on by having a lance put through him when ostensibly, at least, the king thought that he was harboring criminals. So the king pierced him with a lance, and there was two problems with that punishment. One is Yamaraj's punishment, because he was a kid when he did it. That is, Mandavya Muni was a kid. Another problem is that the king was punishing a Brahmin or a saintly person. So the two issues there. Anyway, so in that particular section of the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that women are not meant to be punished.
That means they are being exploited by the men.
And they're being exploited because women are naturally soft-hearted.
Now, because they are soft-hearted and generally weaker than the men,
and these are generalizations, as we mentioned here, there's different types of women,
but because of that being soft-hearted, they are actually in a situation where it's quite frightening for them. I mean, you can imagine here, let's say if you were a very weak man and you're put in a situation in the jungle where there's many animals around, right? Can you imagine that?
No.
Anyway, then you're going to be frightened all the time. So can you imagine, do a little role playing here. Let's say you men, you strong, healthy, masculine men, are in a situation where people, everywhere you go, people are looking to victimize you. And that's pretty heavy, that they're looking to say something to you, to cheat you. I mean, of course, this material world is that, or the world of the cheaters and the cheated. We understand that. But it's quite different when you're a lady, and I mean, maybe the ladies can corroborate this, but you know, when you're a lady and you're young, and, you know, attractive or whatever, and then you go places, people looking at you, people are following you, and it's scary. It's actually quite scary. And people, you know, if you go to a secluded place, people may attack you, people may rape you. Like you see in India, there's somebody rapes, like here in America, there's somebody rapes. And if you go to a party, someone may slip a Mickey, because you don't know what that is, some sort of drug into your drink, and then with this thing called date rape. I mean, so all the time, you know, just it's like being surrounded by predators. So you can understand why a woman is always looking for protection, and because she's always looking for protection, unless she has protection, of course, then. Basically, you know, that's the psychology. So therefore, the woman's not to be punished, and the men are to be punished, because the men are actually exploiting that particular soft-heartedness, weakness, attractiveness, and the women are and the men are going around trying to exploit one woman after the other, as we've seen in many cases. You know, there's famous men, just like you hear about, you know, the hashtag Me Too movement, where many famous movie stars and politicians and people like that are finally coming out of it's being revealed, the women are coming in and revealing what has happened. And it's actually scary. I mean, I could just put myself in that situation where, you know, everybody is looking to just like drag me into a corner and rape me or attack me, or men are raping me, or not men, but let's say some people raping me with their eyes, you know, like a tiger looking at you. So then it's quite understandable. So therefore, in the Vedic society, the women are protected. In fact, Prabhupada even mentions, which is not practical nowadays, that his mother would not even go out except in a palanquin. That's protection. You know, they would have four men, or I don't know if they were eunuchs or not, but anyway, the four men, or whatever, two men, whatever it took, however heavy his mother was, to carry the palanquin, and that's for protection. Because there's so many predators around, that's really the point. And, you know, Prabhupada also remarked that when a woman gets married, that they cover the head, and the son will let... I mean, of course, I'm not saying we should imitate this strict thing in America, it may not be practical. The son should never even see the hair. You know, just very strict statements like that. Because of the men. It's not because of it. It's not and also because of the soft-heartedness of the women. So, And because of that, the women can be so traumatized with PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, they can do all sorts of things that are, because they're not being protected, they can do all sorts of things like was discussed in the verse yesterday, because there are certain circumstances. For their own pleasure, they can do anything irreligious, and therefore they do not fear killing even a faithful husband or brother. I mean, there's stories about how they killed children. A lady killed a child. All of her children. She put all of her children, because she had a lover and the lover didn't like her children. She put all of her children in the car and took the emergency brake off as the car slid into the lake and she watched the children die. I mean, there's so many instances like that. Of course, there are so many men who kill their wives and so many men who kill their parents to get the inheritance. I mean, so it's, you know, it's Kali Yuga. It's a really bad scene right now. However, let me read some things about different types of women. And this is interesting, too. There's some quotes from the Brahma Vivarta Purana. And two quotes I'm going to read from the Bhagavatam and from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about how there are different varieties. Just like there's different varieties of men. You know, we have different varnas, different people under different modes of nature. So there are women under different modes of nature. It's like there are men under different modes of nature. It's not just one type or one variety. So here's a quote from the Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, 24th chapter, text 16. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women known as Swayamini, Kamini, and Pumschili, which is very similar to this word used here in this verse. Pumschalya. You see, Pumschalya, women very easily allured by other men. The Swarini is like to marry men from their own group, the Kamini is marry men from any group, and the Pumschili is change husband one after another. So in other words, what's being described here is the Pumschilis, which is the position of the Apsaras, like Urvasi. Like Urvasi is of that particular category. So we should understand, too, that she is actually projecting in this particular verse, her own mentality when she's describing to Parurava the nature of woman. Of course, we have that statement. What is it? Atmavat vanite jagat. And one sees the whole world like oneself. So, I mean, practically all of us fall into that particular illusion. For example, you know, I see the world in a particular way and I have certain likes and dislikes. And then I practically think when I see someone else that they're interacting with the world in the same way, with the same desires as I have, the same mentality as I have. But it's not true. Everybody has a different mentality. Everybody's under different modes of nature. Everybody has different issues. Everybody has different needs. So we have to be careful about this projection. So Urvasi is doing that here. And there's another reference in the Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are three types of women. This is not exactly the same thing, but just showing that there's different types of ladies. There are three types of women experiencing jealous anger. Sober women, restless women, and women both restless and sober. Of course, this is in relationship to Lakshmi and her associates who were attacking Lord Jagannath's associates when they're attempting to bring Lord Jagannath back to the Jagannath temple from the Gundicha temple. And Lord Chaitanya makes this particular statement. And of course he describes that there's three types of jealous ladies. One is sober, she doesn't say anything, she's very peaceful, at least she doesn't say anything. Restless, she gets angry, yells at her husband or whatever. And a woman both restless and sober, that means someone who speaks, a lady who speaks sarcastically in terms of anger. So, anyway, so just making the point, there's different categories, different types of women. And this is specifically brought out in the Brahma Vivarta Purana. And this is the story I'm writing from the Brahma Vivarta Purana. This is the story between Tulsi and Shankarachuda. So, in this particular story, Shankachuda is actually just really wants to marry Tulsi. He's attracted to Tulsi. So Tulsi is trying to test him to see if he actually understands the nature of women. Eyes open. So she says, the Shastras say that only a degraded man desires a woman. At first, the woman is sweet to a man, but later proves fatal. Though her mouth rains honey, her heart is like a jar of poison. I mean, if people took this literally, they'd never get married. She uses sweet words, but her heart is sharp as a razor. To achieve her own selfish ends, she is submissive to her husband. Otherwise, she is unsubmissive. While her face looks cheerful, her heart is dirty. Even the Vedas and the Puranas cannot fathom her character. A wise man never trusts a base woman. She has no friend or enemy. For all she wants are new lovers. This is exactly what's being said here in this verse by Urvashi. When a woman sees a well-dressed man, she inwardly desires him, but outwardly she appears chaste and modest. She is naturally passionate, attracts men's minds, eagerly engaged in sex. Though outwardly she hides her lust and appears modest, when she meets her lover in secret, she is ready to swallow him up. Like we described before, a spider sometimes eats the male and eats her own children. When she doesn't have sex with him, she feels offended, her body burns with anger, and she begins to quarrel. When her passions are fully satisfied, she becomes cheerful. When unsatisfied, morose. So this, of course, is a description of a particular type of lady whom Urvashi is an example of. And of course, we see that when she approached Arjuna, she felt lusty after Arjuna. Arjuna called her mother, because she actually was a mother. You know, she was associated with Pururava, which was many, many years, many, many generations before Arjuna. And she became so angry, she cursed Arjuna. You know, if I can't have you, no one will have you, you're going to become a eunuch. And of course, that curse was useful in terms of the whole story of the Mahabharata. When Arjuna was in the kingdom of Virat, he became Briha Nala. So that's the type of person Urvashi is. Okay. And so she continues with her description. I mean, it's a really heavy description. A woman likes a good lover more than sweet foods or refreshing drinks. She likes him even more than her own son. He's dear. I'm just going to skip this because it's really heavy. If he becomes impotent or aged, she regards him as an enemy. Quarrels and anger ensue. She devours him like a snake eats a rat. Phew.
It's not that applicable to
all sexes. I'm going to give a balance. I'm not just saying this is the truth. I'm giving a balance. This is a particular type of lady and this particular types of men. Even Lord Brahma and other gods are deluded by her. She is a hindrance in the path of austerity, an obstacle to liberation, an impediment to developing faith in Lord Hari, a refuge in all delusion, a living chain that binds men to the world. She's like a magician, as false as dreams. She appears to be truthful, but she is a bucket of stool, urine, gas, and blood. When God created her, he arranged that she should become the spirit of delusion to the deluded and poison to those who desire liberation. Thus, on no account should a woman be desired. By all means, she should be avoided. Okay, so you hear that. But Shankachuda, she's just testing Shankachuda. Remember this. Because Tulsi is not that type of woman. In fact, when her chastity is violated by Lord Vishnu, she doesn't have to say, wow, that's great. She curses Lord Vishnu to become a stone. So the Shalagram Shila is Lord Vishnu's reaction for offending a woman. Anyway, so let me read Shankachuda's retort, which actually clarifies the whole thing. And he answers, O goddess, what you have said is not completely false. It is partially true and partially false. From the Creator have come some chaste and unchaste women. One is praiseworthy, the other is not. Examples of chaste women are Lakshmi, Saraswati, Durga, Savitri, and Radha. Women who are expansions of them are auspicious, glorious, and very commendable, such as Satarupa, Devahuti, Swaja, Swaha, Dakshina, Anasuya, Ganga, Diti, Aditi, Vedavati, etc. In every yuga cycle, these women are excellent. The heavenly prostitutes are also expansions and partial expansions of the above women, but they are not praiseworthy.
because they are unchaste. Women who are in the mode of goodness are virtuous and pure. The sages declare them to be excellent, but those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance are not so praiseworthy. The passionate ones are fond of sense pleasure, indulge in them, always want to fulfill their selfish goals. Such women are usually insincere, deluded, and irreligious. And that's true for men, too. So what we're talking about is the modes of nature. Generally, they are unchaste. But women in the mode of ignorance are considered the worst. They are irresistible. Oh, my God. So, of course, that refers to the story where Vajamil, you know, he saw this prostitute, which is obviously in the mode of ignorance, and he just couldn't resist. So, I mean, obviously, you can resist if you channel Krishna, and you're Krishna conscious. So the whole point is the modes of nature. That is the real point. As Krishna says in the Gita, karnam guna sangasa sadasa janma jonishu. The cause of our entanglement, that is both men, women, whatever, children, whatever, is association with the modes of nature. So all of us have to be careful about that association. Like, of course, as I've often said before, quoting from Lord Chaitanya's instruction, when Lord Chaitanya was asked, what is the quality of a Vaishnava? He said, a satsanga char, a Vaishnava char. That the first quality of a Vaishnava is to give up bad association. And devotees, sometimes after some time, we become very complacent or lax in following this particular principle. Like we can have association, bad association with the modes of nature by seeing something, tasting something, hearing something, touching something, smelling something, any of the, or contemplating something, you know, like Manasasthani, Indriyani, Prakritishthani, Prajati. We have six senses, which include the mind. And any of those senses that contemplate anything other than the Krishna consciousness can put us in the modes of nature. So a man in the mode of passion is always thinking of having newer and newer lovers too, right? You know, of course he may do it in a romantic way. Newer and newer, more and more wives. And man in the mode of ignorance will do it in an ignorant way. You know, just like grab a woman, like Ravana, you know, kidnapping women. So the whole point, I'm making is not to denigrate women and not to denigrate men, but just denigrate the association with the modes of nature. And of course, another point Prabhupada makes here, because the women are generally soft-hearted, they need to be protected. And soft-hearted and generally weaker than the men, physically weaker. They need to be protected by men. And that's practical. That's practical. And the women are always looking for someone to protect them. And that's why in the Vedic culture, the women were generally married at an early age. They were betrothed before, sometimes even before they met their husband-to-be. And the reason for that is so they wouldn't be like looking here and looking there for someone to protect them. Really, that's their psychology. And another point is, if the women have been exploited by men, you know, in one way or the other, then they become angry, and sometimes they even develop masculine characteristics. Sometimes they become hateful towards men. Sometimes they're not interested in men anymore. You know, they're interested in only relationships with the same sex because